In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast in Little Stephen's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Joan Jett, and her latest release with the Blackhearts is the EP Mindsets. And it features our recent coolest song in the world, Make the Music Go Boom. I'll spend a portion of that now, and then I'll be back with Joan for your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
I felt a bit stronger, and there are nights I wanted to last longer. Yeah, life has changed, changes life. When that change cuts like a knife, I see you and what you've been through. Oh, I hope that you see me too. All of us, we used to call it
Manfred here, and we've got a very special Coolest Conversations today because joining me is Joan Jett. Joan of the Blackhearts' latest release is the EP Mindsets, and it features this week's coolest song in the world, Make the Music Go Boom. Hey, Joan, how you doing?
Doing great, Manfred. How are you?
I'm doing pretty great. You know, I was thinking back about the 4th, and I had to deal with, in Northeast LA, the fireworks are just unbelievable. You know, I got a little dog, so that's always a difficult time. I mean, you grew up out here. Were fireworks such a crazy thing when you were in your teens growing up?
Not really. I think it's gotten more more accessible, I think, just to people in general. And I used to go to fireworks shows when I was younger. I didn't want to have to deal with buying them myself. My family wasn't really into it. Like, my father wasn't really into buying that kind of stuff and doing it ourselves. He'd be more into taking us down to see cultural things. You know, we lived outside of Washington, D.C., so he'd take us to see, you know, the fabulous 4th of July on the Washington Mall, as opposed to just shooting off our own fireworks and stuff. So.
Well, I remember, I think, you know, we spoke back in 2018 and brought up the fact that your dad was, like, really into, like, classical music. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
There must have been a lot of screaming at you when you were cranking that rock and roll up loud.
He just didn't understand it. You know, I still remember listening to Black Dog, but I think it was Black Dog, one of those first Led Zeppelin singles where Robert's just going, you know, oh, no, that's A Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah.
When he does all that, you know, and the drum breakdown, and he's going, my father would come downstairs because I lived down in the rec room at that point. I'd made it into my bedroom because I was, you know, hitting puberty and I didn't want to be upstairs. So he'd come down and go, "What the hell are you listening to? That's not music. What is that?" And it was just really funny because, you know, I know it's so otherworldly and he couldn't understand. But funny enough, years later, I heard that he would, you know, my parents divorced, like, right about the time that the Runaways were forming. And so I never knew if he came to shows or if he knew what I was doing. I mean, I knew he knew that I was trying to form a band, but I found out later on that he was pretty much at all of my shows in California, and he'd just stand in the back and watch and take it all in. But I never knew he was there. It was later in life that he told me about that stuff. And, you know, I don't know, maybe there was some history that he felt it would be difficult to discuss. I'm not sure. Right.
That's pretty cool that in the end you found out that he was supportive in his own way.
Oh, absolutely. Even though he was making fun of it, I think he got it by the time he got where he was. You know, he understood, you know, music changes for each generation. And I wasn't saying Frank Sinatra or Johnny Mathis like my parents grew up with, but it was just a different thing. And I think he had started to accept that. And especially when he'd see how happy other people would be from listening to the music or hearing people telling me what you know, horrible things in their life music gets them through, or specifically my music. And it's like, it's so humbling and such an honor that people would use your music to get through these tough times when really they could choose anyone. But maybe the music chooses them, you know, that we're going to get into more philosophical things if we go there. But sometimes I think the music finds you, you know.
It was like you mentioned changes, and last year around March, you released Change Up, which features, you know, acoustic versions of a number of your better known songs. And I was wondering, how did that fit into this, into the timeline with the material and mindset? So those songs like a product wholly of last year, or those tunes have been percolating for a while?
Well, yeah, Change Up was just a different way. We wanted to sort of approach our music in a different way, that it sort of stemmed out of us doing a couple of songs at a documentary, at a theater opening for our documentary Bad Reputation, like 5 years ago. And they wanted us to play a few songs.
Yeah.
So the only way we could do that was acoustically. And it was not something that we were really into, but we thought we'd give it a shot. And we played three or four songs in a movie theater acoustically. And we were very, I mean, I guess I was very shockingly surprised at how good it sounded and how it gave new life to the songs. In other words, you were forced to reinterpret them just because, you know, I couldn't sing them as hard as I would if I was playing with an electric guitar. I had to sort of, you know, rework them in my mind, and which made it challenging, but a lot of fun. So, you know, that was a zone project last year. And then towards the end of the last year, I knew that we would need to start getting some new music out there. And I'd known that Dougie Needles, our guitar player, had been writing songs and sending me things for several years. And, you know, we had a collection of this stuff. So we started going through it, wheedled it down to about 10 songs. And then from there, wheedled it down to six or seven that we wanted to put out an EP as opposed to, you know, a 12, 13 song album. And, you know, you put so much work into it and then maybe nothing happens. So, you know, we thought we'd try something different, put out a little less music, new stuff. And so we took these Dougie songs, and I picked six out of the 10 that we'd focus on, and we just started going into rehearsal and rehearsing them. And we went into the studio and recorded them. Normally we learn songs, we take them out on the road, we'll play them for several months to, you know, to learn the songs better, to let them filter into you so you really know what you want to come out.
Right.
This, just by its necessity, was forcing us to go do everything the opposite. It was like we had the songs, and I needed to work on the lyrics. And so I spent some time doing that, like homework. You know, sometimes you forget as a songwriter that it's work. You know, you expect it to sit down and things to just flow out. And, you know, that might happen a couple times in your life, but for the most part, it's work. You know, you have to sit down and write stupid lyrics, and then they'll get better, and then rewrite and keep going. And, you know, I guess I don't always look forward to that sort of stuff because I'm afraid I'm not going to come up with anything. You know, you're afraid you'll be empty. And then what? So anyway, that didn't happen, though. And we came up with what we feel are probably some of the best songs we've done in years. And I think it also reflects all the stuff all of us have been through around the world, you know, with all the stuff that came up in 2019, 2020 with COVID and, you know, a pandemic around the world. And it just was, you know, everyone has gone. Nobody knows what normal is anymore, you know, and so it was a way, I guess, for us to try to describe that aspect of it that, you know, now it's not just about physical things. Now you're dealing with your mental. And I think if you can get control of the mental, that helps with a lot of the physical. But it's harder to do. It's easier to say than to do. But I think this song reflects a lot of the ways, like, we wanted to go back to normal. Like, the music makes music go boom. You know, it's about wanting to get back out to clubs, wanting to get back out and hearing music the way it was meant to be, nice and loud, and not the boom of bombs, but the boom of amps and the boom of kick drums and the sonic booms.
The sonic,
you know,
booms.
What I mean? Like the sonic booms of people.
Yeah.
Of human-made stuff. And that's, you know, what we're trying to circle it back around to, this normalcy that we once felt with each other, and trying to draw it out. Plus, you know, I mean, I don't tend to be outwardly political, but I think in a lot of my music, I say what I believe. And so I think in some sense, you know, that's important to me, to sing to people and have them hear what I'm saying and, you know, not really turn their backs on us, you know, wanting to get along. It doesn't do any of us any good if we're divided. And I understand that everybody's going to have different opinions about everything, but there's a way to make it work and there's a way to not make it work. And, you know, we have to come back to the part where we used to be able to make it work, even though everybody wasn't happy. It's called compromise.
Well, exactly. And one thing I am really enjoying hearing you describing about mindsets and the music on there and the different things you're trying to channel into that, because when we spoke back in 2018, you were talking about the difficulty of writing rock songs and having them pertain to your current life's experiences. And you've just, done a great job illustrating why you think you've certainly been able to accomplish that with the six tunes on mindsets, and also, you know, revealing this, an insecurity, and a worry about hitting empty, you know, that's, you know, but it just seems as though as long as we're breathing and we're moving and we're rocking, you know, that there's always something in the tank, I would have to think.
Definitely. And I think I state my beliefs in songs. And so, you know, you don't have to come wondering where I sit necessarily politically.
Yeah.
But I also don't come at people like an asshole, you know. It's you know, people are going to be what they are, and I'd like to discuss it as opposed to yell at each other about things, you know, and a lot of the lyrics reflect on this, you know. I'm just trying to think of a lyric to give you an example. I'm trying to take a rearview mirror. I'll find it and then I'll read it to you. But it just gives you an idea of, you know, how we're trying to approach this. Like, you know, let's not lose our humanity during the, it's difficult enough with everybody feeling so unmoored, you know, in general. I think we all feel a little bit of that, of unmooring, and we don't know where the bottom is, you know? So it's hard to, feel sort of secure any place you are. I don't know if that's making any sense, but, you know, the music is the one thing to me that is consistent, you know. I know how to play in a band. I kind of know how to write songs, you know. We know how to play on the road. We love playing live. I mean, it's the only things that's still really a joy in this business, because the traveling sure isn't. Making the records is a beautiful experience too.
Well, a coolest song in the world this week is Make the Music Go Boom. We've been talking about that a little bit. So there, the lyric in this tune, life has changed, changes life. Is it easier for you as you go along, or more challenging, life's changes?
Is it harder to change, or is it easier?
Yeah, I mean, life delivers up these challenges, these changes. Are these changes easier to deal with as things go along, or you have a better handle on how to approach things,
I think partly it's just, you know, mentally knowing that life is change. Things are going to change. So if you get yourself in a mindset that I can't handle any change, you know, and then you're going to have, you're going to have some issues. But if you start to prepare yourself that life is change, that's the nature of it. Everything is different. Even every day, if it seems the same, something is a little bit different. So everything is constantly changing. And I used to be pretty uncomfortable with that. You know, I like routines. I like things to be the same. I think a lot of us feel, you know, a sense of control when we know what things are going on, and when it doesn't, we feel, you know, in chaos. But I think as I've gotten older, it's been a little easier to kind of step back from that.
These days, here you got the EP's opening track, and the single is If You're Blue, and that chorus on there is, what is it, call me, call me, call me, if you're blue, yeah, I will still be here for you. So thinking of fingers there, we're dealing with a world of texters. Do you spend a lot of time still on the phone, or are you a texter?
I text, but I prefer the phone. You know, if you need to talk to somebody about something and it's serious, it's time for a phone call and no texting. You know what I mean? So it really depends on what you're doing. I mean, email and texting work for its proper things, but I prefer getting on the phone with things that I want to make sure that they happen, or I want to make sure I communicate whatever the subject is. You know, if I'm not sure, I want to talk to whoever.
I'm down with that. Another cool track on the EP, Shooting into Space, really fun, upbeat tune. And you, last time we spoke, I thought you had mentioned, it was kind of in passing, but had you saying something in effect that if you had not been a rocker, one of the things you had wanted to pursue was being an astronaut.
Yeah, but that was like little kid time. You know, I wanted to know where we were going, and I wanted to be an archaeologist and an astronaut. Now, this is like at 6, 5, you know, I wanted to go up to the moon, and I wanted to figure out where we came from. Like, I wanted to dig for mummies and stuff. I just, you know, and I find that interesting, because as a child, before you're all filled up with, you know, everybody else's ideas, you know, the kids are very tapped in. And, you know, it just cracks me up to think, okay, I wanted to explore outer space, and I wanted to look within the Earth and study what had come before us. I just thought that was pretty cool. And I would still be interested in that stuff if I stopped the music altogether today. You know, there are many other interests. So,
well, they shot William Shatner up into outer space in a rocket. If one of these guys called you up and said, Joan, we've got a space for you on a rocket, would you like to go? Would you be up for that?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's not that I'm... The daredevil-y things, I'm very good with doing those kind of things. So, but I've done enough of that stuff with the military. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to go up and down. That's the whole thing. If you can go up there, let's go up and hang out for a while.
So onto the space station?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
But not in this lifetime, you know, not for me.
Well, this lifetime, you've been touring this summer with Bryan Adams. You've got shows with him until August the 3rd. How's that been going?
It's been going wonderfully. It's been really great buildings, great audiences. Everyone seems really excited. The venue seems to be pretty full by the time we're on, you know, which is always nice to see. And you know, we kick butt for an hour and give it over to Brian. And he's been just a real sweetheart. And it's been a, you know, actually, I was out to dinner with the crews last night, and they said this is the first time that all the crews really get along. It's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Because that's the most important thing.
Well, man, if the crews are together, you know, the ship is sailing smoothly.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, just two more questions here. The EP's been out about a month now, came out beginning of June. How is your own personal mindset? What are you looking forward to now?
Getting some rest. You know, just, you know, spending a little summertime things, maybe go to a ball game. Things like that. And then, you know, we still have gigs through the end of the year or through, you know, the fall. So we'll still be playing. But I believe this, like you said, this tour ends the 3rd of August. But we'll still be doing some of our own things. But I would like to go. I'm an Orioles, Baltimore Orioles fan, and I'm hoping they can hang on and get into that postseason play.
Well, the tune I'd like us to go out on is Before the Dawn. So this is another another one that Dougie came up with the music for.
Uh-huh.
So lyric-wise, two things. So the first line, I can get tired of being strong. And I mean, sort of truism, rock, music, pop music, tough business, especially for women, even more so when you were starting out. How weary are you? How do you deal with it?
Well, sometimes there's no way to deal with it except say, I'm the only one to do this, so I've got to do it. Just tough it out and buckle down and deal with it. Other times, God, you know, it really just depends on the circumstance. But, you know, you can strong psychically, strong physically, and then at some point you need to recharge. So, you know, people do it in their different forms. I could take a day off and recharge myself and be ready to go. But I think really that's what it's talking about is life, is not me specifically, but in general, life, you know, people trying so hard to achieve something and then maybe something like an illness comes in or what we just went through with the pandemic and it knocks everything to hell. And, you know, it gets hot. It gets hard to keep being strong, you know, maybe being strong for your family, your friends, whatever it is, you know, just to keep that up. It doesn't mean that you're not strong. It's just copping to, wow, this is getting tiring. I need to rest up so I can be my best self, you know.
That second lyric in there, hardest part of every day is my struggling at night. What sorts of things do you find yourself struggling with at night?
The unknown, you know, just the unknown, control, the same stuff we all think about, I think, really at the root of it all. Because I'm not necessarily outwardly uptight about things, but I know that people do struggle, you know, and they struggle, especially at night, you're alone. Or even not alone. You can feel all alone in a house full of people.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there struggling and nobody knows about it. So that's what I'm referring to, is kind of like the unseen mental issues that people go through that's really difficult, but maybe for some reason you just can't bring it up or there's no way to bring it up to just let somebody in to say, hey, man, I need a little bit of help here. You know, when you figure it out, do I need a little bit of help? Do I need a lot of help? You know, but if you don't start the conversation, everybody will just, you know, tread water. And eventually you get too tired to do that.
Well, Joan, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Manfred, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I listen to you all the time, too.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you so much. We're going to give a listen now to Before the Dawn. It's Joan Jett of Blackhearts off Mindsets in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
That was some of Before the Dawn from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Track us off the new EP, Mindsets. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Joan for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Nils Lofgren has been playing with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band for a while, but his long career also includes time playing with Neil Young and Crazy Horse, and also leading the group Grin. His latest solo album is Mountains, and we'll find out all about it next time around on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I'll get you all right. I need solidarity.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.